Hey there, how's it going? Dennis Kelly here, your host on Sounds of Chicago and owner, editor of Chicago Music Guide. You just heard the opening track, Serial Killer, from Chicago band Macabre from their 1987 release, Grim Reality. And for this episode, I'm going to play for you some of the great metal from the late 80s and early 90s that influenced me in particular. There are tons of other great bands out there from that time, for sure, and maybe I'll focus on them in future episodes, but for now, these are some of the bands I wanted to share with you on this episode, and I hope you'll love them as much as I still do. Macabre and their Grim Reality album in particular were such huge inspirations on me as I started off in my own band, The Killer Kitchen Utensils. Corporate deaths, ripping vocals, and violently sung vocals were, at least for me, a truly unique sound at the time, and literally hooked me instantly. Dennis the Menace's drums hit speeds, even on any of my best days, I was never able to reach myself, and Nefarious's bass gave the band the power and pulled all this intensity together into one murdering and mind-melting metal band. I asked Corporate Death if he could say a few words about how the scene was back in the day, and you'll hear him toward the end of this show, and also be playing a song off of their latest album released late last year, Carnival of Killers, so stay tuned for that. Listen to more Macabre and buy their music at murdermetal.bandcamp.com. Next up, another truly iconic band from Chicago, Life Sentence, who also made a gigantic global impact and had quite the interesting history, but that can be discussed perhaps in another episode. Life Sentence's original lineup consisted of Tom O'Connor on drums, Joe Lacerdo on vocals and bass, and Eric Brockman on guitar and vocals, and the album was recorded at Solid Sound Studio in Hoffman Estates, not too far at all from where I was living at the time in 85 and 86. Something I didn't know, though, was that Barry Stern from Chicago's E-Trope had been involved in the production of the album, too, which I actually think is very cool. But make sure you visit lifesentence.bandcamp.com where you can pick up the album, shirts, and stickers. And anyway, let's get going on the next song here, which will be Problems from their debut album, Life Sentence.
I can't put you to the edge, but you hear me all along.
That was Miss America Sucks from Chicago's Victims of Society off their album Wicked Rock Music is Killing Our Children. They were formed by Joey Vindictive, who went on to also form The Vindictives in 1990. Up next are two bands from the Aurora area, Nickel Brains and Decrepit Youth. First is the song Nothing from the album Forward Message by Nickel Brains. And if you like what you hear, check out the rest of their music on Reverb Nation at reverbnation.com/nickelbrains. And well, here goes nothing. That was Two Leaf Clover from the tape Square One by Decrepit Youth, a band that really commanded Chicago's stages live. Many of the members have gone on to other bands such as Tempter, Sacred Dawn, Sentenced on Sunday, and more. Here now is a great track from my former band, The Killer Kitchen Utensils, called Live Today from 1992's tape Soap Scum. This, however, was recorded after I bowed out from music and went on to videotape, some of their shows at venues like Club Studola and Foch's. When I was in the band, it always seemed like after we played, the venues would close down, like Iron Rail, which is where we had our first show, The Odyssey, and The Thirsty Whale, to name a few. And it just goes to show that even in good times, venues need your support, but now even more than ever. For me, I would say that the Chicago music scene, from my limited personal experience, was better in some ways. Without the internet, everything was much more hands-on and having to physically be there to promote yourselves, either at live shows, hanging flyers, and or selling demo tapes. The challenge then was not easily having the means to let the world know about you. But these days, now that bands have access to the internet and the ability to record decent quality demos themselves, it seems that the challenge today is to stand out from all the millions of artists globally. But there were many more record stores available back then that had consignment sections to help local bands, and at least one store we had our demo tapes at is still in business today, Beyond the Limit in Norridge. Take a moment to thank them for the support they show local artists by buying merchandise from them. To learn more about them, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/beyondthelimit87. Let's hear the Killer Kitchen Utensils song, Live Today, from the tape Soap Scum.
We'll be right back.
That was Andy, Eric, and Steve from The Killer Kitchen Utensils with Live Today. Insane Society from 1990's album of the same name by Wrath is next, and like Macabre, Wrath are still going strong today. In fact, they just played a show on the 13th in Wisconsin, though unfortunately without Gary, their founding member, due to him having to have eye surgery. I hope he's doing better now, though, and makes a speedy recovery. Here is Insane Society by Wrath. That was Insane Society by Wrath. And now I have a special guest for you, Nick Cinzeri from the band Maelstrom, to talk about some of his experiences from the early days. Take it away, Nick.
Some of the memories that jump back to me from those days, those were very hazy days for me, obviously. Used to enjoy partaking quite a bit as a youth, and but I remember as a 13-year-old doing, you know, my first shows at the Thirsty Whale, and I had a fake ID that said I was either 16 or 18. It was laughably fake, the ID. They kind of laughed at it, but they let me play there anyway, you know, on the condition that I didn't drink, but I didn't really drink anyway. And I just remember going out there and kind of getting some ridicule from the bands that we were opening up for. And then later a little bit of respect as they saw that, wow, this skinny 13-year-old kid actually could play a little bit. So that was always fun. And then, you know, going on to play at the Metro with groups like Exciter, Eotrope, all kinds of groups. And, you know, so in 1986, I was 16 and doing those kind of shows. And my first demo tapes were being played on the old station VVX, and that was fun to drive around and hear yourself on the radio. So those are some of the fond memories that come back to me as I reminisce about my old metal days here. Then we kind of evolved into playing more of a funky rap style that I thought I was kind of innovating on, but it turns out the Chili Peppers were doing it unbeknownst to me right alongside of us in the you know, early and mid 80s. And then I kind of got turned on to them, and that kind of validated the approach that I was taking. And even later, my brother Joe, who's a guitar player in Maelstrom, he went on to, you know, try out for the Red Hot Chili Peppers after John Frusciante left, because we kind of really adopted that funk approach, that funk metal approach, which was popular at the time. And after that, I continued to write and got a publishing deal and was writing songs and never really stopped from there. I still play live all the time, and really, even after those metal years, that's when I really started to play the most, you know, doing something like 100 shows a year for like 20 years. And that's kind of where you really learn how to do your stuff, you know, how to really sing and how to really play and, you know, how to really get paid. So it's just something that music for me has been a really... It's really enriched, you know, the fabric of my life, alongside of having a wife and two kids and a regular job. And but it's just something that I always kept going alongside of all of those things. And I've really enjoyed it. So I'm still doing it. All of my information is at nicksanzeri.com. I just play solo now. It's too hard to hold a band together in these times of COVID, which I'm sitting here suffering from right now as I record this. You know, during these times of COVID, it's one of those things where really bar owners and people don't have a lot of kind of extra money to do that. Obviously, there's not even a lot of people that are in bars. And so... I found for me that, you know, just being a solo act has been the best. And, you know, I basically play bass and sing, and, you know, I supplement my sound with some tracks, and it's a really exciting sound. And if anyone was interested in me back then and is hearing this and wants to come see me, I'd really appreciate that. And, you know, it's all different kinds of music now, obviously, but it's still really good. And still has a lot of life and a lot of energy, just like you do, my friend, and just like the metal scene still does in general. I still am friends with, you know, guys in metal bands and things like that. And metalers are the most loyal, you know, they're the best. So I'm proud of my metal roots, and I'm honored and flattered that you would take an interest in my music that I made back then. And I really appreciate it. So rock on, and here's to a great 2021.
Thanks so much, Nick. All the best to you for 2021, and thank you for sharing your experiences with me today. I really hope you get better soon. I remember being blown away from Maelstrom shows at the Taste of Roselle in the mid-80s. It definitely started me on the path to a lifelong interest in music and to support the scene. Now check out Hammerhead from Maelstrom.
is Corporate Death from Macabre. The 80s was a very special time for music in Chicago. Although rap and hip-hop was growing big time, I was into the heavy extreme styles. And Chicago played a big part in shaping music to this very day. Chicago was always known for its blues roots and had the biggest movie about it in the Blues Brothers in 1980, which everyone loves. The heavy music scene was starting to boil. I managed a rock and roll McDonald's in Chicago through the 80s, so I would get off work and go to shows two or three times a week, with touring bands and local bands opening up for the shows. I'm not going to make a list of bands from that time. There's way too many to list. But I do feel fortunate to be in a band in Chicago at the time, in the 80s. We started writing our own style, murder metal, in 1983, and there was no looking back. We tried to blend a lot of extreme styles, singing true stories about real killers. We recorded the last album done in Universal Studios, Chicago, called Sinister Slaughter. We were the last band to record there. That's where the Blues Brothers recorded their album. We love Chicago, and we thank everyone who supported us over the years. We thank you.
Well, thank you, Corporate Death, for sharing your experiences and insights and your time. I really appreciate it. Chicago's music scene and the metal scene from across the globe would definitely not have been the same if not for Macabre being there and showing everyone how it's done. I am so thankful for your special blend of murder metal, and I'm glad that it's still coming out strong. The new album, Carnival of Killers, is, what can I say, killer. And I'm thrilled to be able to share Your Window is Open from the new album, which is out on Nuclear Blast Records. Here it is.
The streets I is a guide.
And there you have it, a special trip through some of Chicago's metal from the 80s and 90s, and I have a feeling that this is just going to be the beginning of going through all this. I expect there will be more dives into the past to come, but regardless, I hope you enjoyed the music. I would like to thank each band for being a part of this, and also a special thank you to Nick Cinzeri and Corporate Death for being a guest on the show. I really appreciate it. Next episode, I'll get some of the latest tunes from Chicago for you to enjoy, so stay tuned for that. And with that, I thank you for taking the time to listen, and I'll see you next time.